The words of God given to us this morning is from Psalm 119, verse 173. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Amen. Those who have been justified by faith in God's word must pay close attention to God's character and his works. We can do this by meditating on God's word. Only when we continually meditate on God's word can we make the right choice when we face decisions in life. The temptation of worldly values never stops coming to us. If our thoughts are not focused on God's character and his works, as revealed in his word, our judgment becomes clouded. We end up making wrong choices, and in some serious cases, we fall into the way of sin. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us about people who do not pay attention to God's works. Let us take a look at the Isaiah 5:12. They have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. What about us? But think about the choices you made when you had to make a decision and how those choices shaped your life today. Were all your choices right and good? The writer of Psalm 119 confesses that he chose God's word. The text does not tell us what situation he was facing when he made that choice. Now, what kind of choices are there other than God's words? Let's suppose that on a table there is God's word on one side and worldly things on the other. There are probably those who would say, I can confidently choose God's word in that situation. But the situations we face in life are not as simple as choosing an object among many from a table. Now, what does it mean to choose God's word? It means to choose what is consistent with God's word. This is from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. It says, like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. There are times when we face problems that are far beyond our own strength. If we have not been regularly meditating on God's word, which reveals God's character and his works, and if we have not been living in a right relationship with him, we may make the wrong choice. For example, we may go to an untrustworthy person and ask that person to solve our problems. The Korean New Revised Version translates Proverbs 25:19 this way. Trusting an unfaithful person in a time of trouble is like leaning on a rotten tooth or a broken leg. A rotten tooth, a broken tooth, refers to a weak person who cannot chew food properly. A broken leg also refers to somebody who is incapable of functioning normally and is powerless. The point is that an unfaithful person, an untrustworthy person, cannot truly help. Recently, we have been meditating on the book of Jeremiah during our early morning prayer meetings. We have been reading about the events that took place immediately after the fall of the kingdom of Judah. After Judah was destroyed, the nation went through a time of great confusion. Many people were destroyed, killed, and many were taken away into exile. And Babylon left behind mostly the poor. But among those who remained were also members of the royal family, people from noble families, and military commanders who had survived outside Jerusalem. Now, after the nation's fall, they should have humbly accepted God's judgment. They should have waited for the time of restoration that God had promised, united their hearts, and worked together. Sadly, instead, a power struggle broke out. A man named Gedaliah, who Babylon appointed as governor, was assassinated by Ishmael, a member of the royal family. Ishmael not only killed the governor, but also killed Babylonian soldiers. Now, isn't it clear that anyone could guess how things would go after that? Babylon would certainly not leave the rebels or the remaining people of Judah unpunished. So Ishmael, the murderer, fled across the border into Ammon. Another leader involved in the power struggle, Yohanan, decided to take the remaining people and escape to Egypt. Even though Yohanan himself had not killed the governor or the Babylonian soldiers, he feared Babylon's severe punishment. And because of that fear, he chose to flee to Egypt. We also face similar situations in our own lives. Sometimes we worry that we may suffer punishment or setback, even though we were not directly involved in what happened. At such times, we should not make the wrong choice because we fear people. Instead, we should choose what is consistent with God's word. Yohanan failed to make the choice that agreed with God's word for his time. God had clearly said, serve the king of Babylon. Instead of obeying God's words, Yohanan feared Babylon and chose Egypt. But what kind of nation was Egypt? God had already spoken about Egypt through the prophet Isaiah during the time when the northern kingdom of Israel fell. It was also a message that Judah should have listened to. This is from Isaiah chapter 31, verse 3, which says, but the Egyptians are mere mortals and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, those who help will stumble. Those who are helped will fall. All will perish together. Yohanan's choice of Egypt was like trusting an unfaithful person. It was like relying on a broken tooth and a lame foot. The writer of Psalm 119 made a different choice. He chose God's word. If sometimes people around us strongly recommend a person saying, this person can get you out of your troubles. But if the person is someone who is an untrustworthy character, then deciding not to depend on that person is choosing God's word. By God's grace, we have been justified through faith in the blood of Jesus and his word. We have become God's children. God's children should choose God and love him as his children, as fitting as children of God. We should not choose the world or love the world. Why did the judgment of the flood come in Noah's time? It came because God's children chose and loved the people of the world. Genesis chapter 6:2 testifies to this. The sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. In this passage, gender is not the point. The sons of God refers to people who believed in God and lived in a right relationship with Him. The daughters of humans refers to the people of the world who did not believe in God. God's children should choose and delight in what God desires. We should not choose something simply because it looks attractive to us. Even if it does not look attractive to our eyes, we should choose what God wants. Abraham and his nephew Lot lived together for a time, and as their possessions and livestock increased, the land was no longer large enough to support both of them. And so it became a time for them to go separate ways. When the time came, Abraham gave Lot the first right to choose where he would go. Lot chose the region of Zoar, where the Sodom and Gomorrah were located. That land had plenty of water. It looked like the garden of the Lord and like the land of Egypt. Lot chose what looked good to his eyes. Places that look great, comfortable, always attract many people. If all who move there live good lives, that would be good. But if they do not, many problems arise. Why did Sodom and Gomorrah receive God's judgment? It was because people who lived there pursued what looked pleasing to their eyes instead of living as people created in the image of God. Lot chose the land that looked good to him, but in the end, he ended up choosing a land headed for destruction. This is from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, which says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." Human judgment is not always accurate, and this is especially true for people who are not in a right relationship with God. A decision or a choice may seem fine by the world standards, but in the end, it leads to death. The same statement also appears in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. The book of Proverbs repeats it twice to emphasize that we should not choose simply by what looks good to our eyes. Rather than making a choice based on what looks good to us, we should choose what is consistent with God's word. Now, why must we choose God's word? Because we have received the election of God. God first chose us. Apart from our own goodness or merit, God freely chose us by His grace. Then how should those who have been chosen by God live? In the previous sermon, we heard why God chose Abraham and why He called him. Abraham responded to God's call by leaving his homeland and going to the place where God directed him, and by believing and trusting in God, he was justified, and he lived in a right relationship with God by practicing righteousness and justice. The fact that Abraham lived in this way means that he chose God's word throughout his life. The same was true of David. At one time, David probably thought that he had been born into a family that offered no hope for success. He was the eighth son in a very ordinary household of a man named Jesse. being the youngest among his brothers, it seemed very unlikely that he would ever become well-known or bring honor to his family. Yet God chose David. The fact that God chose David means that he became a person of honor. This is what God said to David in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 8. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth. There was a time in our lives when no one paid any attention to us. Yet God chose us, and now we live as his children and as Christians. You may think that at this stage of your life, you are like one of Jesse's sons, an unknown person whose name no one notices. But if you have been chosen by God and are living as his child, you have already received everything. Stop thinking of yourself as an unknown person. Anyone who bears the name of Jesus within them is not an unknown person, but an honored and precious person. If we have received such grace, isn't it only natural that we should choose God's word? When the psalmist says that he chose God's word, he's not saying that he had ignored God's word until trouble came and then chose it simply to get over his troubles. Can a person who lives according to worldly values truly choose God's word? No, that is not possible. Such a person cannot choose a path that brings disadvantage, loss, humiliation, or self-sacrifice. But a person who is living in a right relationship with God accepts all these things and still chooses God's word. Only a person who chooses God's word can pray as a psalmist did. This is today's text. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. This prayer contains psalmist's confession of faith. He could not have prayed this way if he did not believe that God's hand truly helps him. Let us think for a moment about our own prayers. If you have ever written your prayers down, read them again. They reveal your confession of faith. They show what you truly believe. The psalmist prays, "May your hand be ready to help me." He's not asking God to help him only once. He prays, "May your hand always be ready to help me." If we also want to pray like the psalmist, we must first know what kind of a hand God's hand is. God's hand is the hand that helps us. It is the hand that delivers us from oppression. It is the hand of salvation. The first part of Deuteronomy chapter 5:15 says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." God's mighty hand and his outstretched arm delivered Israel from the oppression of Egypt. After Moses led God's people out of Egypt, they experienced many hardships in the wilderness on their way to the place God had promised. The people complained again and again. On one occasion, they complained because they wanted the meat that they had eaten when they were slaves in Egypt. God told Moses that he would give them meat to eat, not just for a day or two, but for the entire month until they were sick of it. The reason God said this, as Numbers chapter 11, 20 tells us, was because the people despised God and complained against him. The Israelites failed to recognize God's character and to pay attention to the careful and faithful way he guided them every step of the way. Even Moses was not an exception. When God said that he would provide meat for an entire month, Moses simply could not understand how it could happen. At the time, there were about 600,000 adult men. If we include the women, the children, and the many other people who had come out of Egypt with them, there were certainly more than 2 million people. Moses said that even if all the flocks and herds were slaughtered, there would not be enough meat for everyone. Even if all the fish in the sea were gathered together, it still would not be enough. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, who lacked faith at that moment. This is from Numbers chapter 11, verse 23, which says, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you.'" God's hand is not too short. Nothing is impossible for his hand. We cannot compare our faith with Moses' faith. But how often do we, like Moses, at such moments, fail to believe what God is able to do? Instead of remembering what kind of hand God has, do we not also say things like, "Even if all the flocks and herds were slaughtered, would there be enough? Even if all the fish in the sea were gathered together, would there be enough?" There is no place that God's hand cannot reach. Even if the place where I now suffer is a place of death, even Sheol itself, God stretches out his hand and rescues me. We should put away thoughts like, in this circumstance, like, "Will God really help me in a situation like this? Or can he really protect me from the people who are making my life difficult?" Whenever such thoughts come into your mind, turn your attention to God's character and his works as revealed in the scripture. God created you. He made you from the dust of the ground, from something that represents dust, ashes, and what seems worthless, and he made you into a person of great worth and honor. Will the God who created you not also reach out his hand to rescue you in your time of trouble? God says in Jeremiah chapter 18:6, "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." If we truly believe that we are in the hands of God, the absolute sovereign over our lives, then let's not forget to ask for the help of his hand. Finally, we need to remember that God's hand is not always revealed in the same way. Today's passage teaches us that God's hand becomes a helping hand for those who choose his word. But it also teaches that God's hand is not a helping hand for those who do not choose his word. For those who do not choose God's word and therefore are not living in a right relationship with him, God's hand becomes a hand of discipline. The book of Judges gives many examples of God's hand acting in this way. This is from Judges chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plunder them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Several different hands are mentioned in these verses. There are the hands of the raiders, the hands of their enemies, and the hand of the Lord. These may seem like different hands, but together they are all expressions of God's hand of discipline. Why did God's hand become a hand of discipline during the time of Judges? Because the people did not choose God's word. God hence becomes the hand of discipline for those who refuse to choose his word. Even if that person has been chosen by God, he may still hand that person over to the hands of raiders and to the hands of enemies as an act of discipline. Which hand of God we find ourselves under depends on whether we choose God's word as we live in the midst of many influences of this world. To ensure that God's hand does not become a hand of discipline toward us, we must live humbly under his hand, choosing his word in every circumstance. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." A humble life under God's hand is a life that understands what kind of hand God's hand is. If we truly know what kind of hand God extends toward us, then even if the world offers a great wealth, a high salary, great profits, or great honor, we will not choose those things if they are not consistent with God's word. Instead, we will choose God's word. When we live this way, we will become God's children and faithful Christians who can pray like the psalmist with confidence. "May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, which enables us to believe your word, to remain in a right relationship with you, and to choose your word above the many things this world offers. The world in which we live is filled with things that are not consistent with your word. In every situation where we must make a choice, help us to seek your guidance first, asking whether our decision is in accordance with your word, and then to choose accordingly as your children. May we choose what is consistent with your word and follow the path that our Lord walked, the path of righteousness and the path of suffering. When we encounter difficulties along the way, make us Christians who pray with the psalmist, "May your hand always be my help." Throughout human history, including the time of the judges, your hand of discipline came upon those who refused to choose your word and live in disobedience. Keep your children in this generation from experiencing that hand of discipline. Instead, help us to live humbly under your hand. Even if your hand of discipline should come upon us, help us to believe that it is not intended to destroy us, but ultimately to rescue us from the path of destruction. May we recognize it as your helping hand working for our restoration. May the 100th anniversary Memorial Church always take off his sandals before you and choose your word so that it may continually receive the help of your hand. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.